Google's new subsidiary, Jigsaw, has begun to pilot a set of tools called Conversation AI, designed to use machine learning to deeply track speech patterns that might indicate casual talk about racial hatred, sexual violence, crime, genocide, and automatically spot and moderate hate speech online more accurately and efficiently than humans ever could. They've already partnered with the New York Times to moderate comment sections. But Google's attempts to censor online harassment, a whole new set of code words are being used to identify religious and ethnic groups. Google is the N-word, Skype for Jew, Skittles means gay men, Aleppo is a code for libertarian. Whitney Phillips is an assistant professor at Mercer University and author of This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things, Mapping the Relationship Between Online Trolling and Mainstream Culture.
Right now, it's not entirely clear what the full applicability of the algorithm is going to be. The New York Times will be using it to moderate comments, and Wikimedia is going to be implementing it somehow, but they're not entirely sure at this point. So it's not fully clear to what extent this is actually going to impact people's daily online lives. It has some potential, of course, but the AI needs to learn a bit more before it rolls out.
And if we're talking about filtering inappropriate comments on a site like the New York Times, this is going to have to be way more sophisticated than just, you know, searching for bad words.
Yeah, I mean, well, the complication with this sort of algorithm is that it is looking for certain words, certain phrases, and may not be able to pick up on the full nuance of communicative exchanges, that it may not be able to distinguish between, you know, humor and satire and more sincere extremism. But on the other hand, that's a distinction that human beings actually struggle to make as well. So that's not going to be just a problem specific to the algorithm, but it's often really difficult to tell when something is meant seriously and when it's meant, you know, to rile people up or to criticize or sort of undermine a bigoted position. So humans have some issues with this discernment as well.
But they have issues with it online. They don't have issues with it in terms of the way we operate in social communities. I mean, I'm wondering if this, instead of being artificial intelligence, is actually artificial stupidity, in the sense that Google could maybe develop an algorithm that would do more of a shaming mechanism for people who speak inappropriately, bring them out, you know, operate in the more natural constraints that we use to regulate hate speech rather than just filtering something out in a mechanistic kind of way.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, the thing about the conversation AI is that right now it's still at its earliest phases, that it was just announced. But one of the things that the Jigsaw people have been talking about is that down the road, it may end up being an open source kind of a tool. And then communities would be able to implement it in ways that made sense for that community. For some communities, simple word filtering might be all that's needed. And other communities, depending on what sort of community it is and what the stakes of the conversation might be, they would potentially be able to implement it in ways that were more appropriate and more organic to the way that communities sort of police their own boundaries in embodied spaces and in online spaces as well. When community formation works, everybody is on the same page in terms of the rules. So depending, you know, down the road, how the software or how the algorithm is developed, it could be that that is how it's used.
What this looks like to me is, you know, the New York Times wants to erase graffiti from its page, you know, and they're using a very sophisticated tool to essentially scrub their comments wall. But you've got to figure that this has implications in like national security and a whole other bunch of places.
Well, I mean, it could potentially, absolutely, yeah. I mean, every major platform, including news organizations, they're all having to contend with really problematic speech and behavior that goes beyond just simple bad words. This is not, you know, the problem is not just people saying four-letter words. It has to do with sort of deeper sort of cultural issues around racism and homophobia. The internet is rife with speech and behavior that isn't just annoying and isn't just sort of ugly, but can be outright dangerous. And so then the question is, what can be done? But more importantly and more vexingly, what should be done? What's the responsibility of these platforms to moderate spaces so that their users feel like they can participate in a way that's meaningful to them?
But if Serena Williams, for instance, wanted to have something like this personally to keep speech regarding her internet presence from referencing her race and making comments that we've seen have actually been in her experience, this would be more appropriate for people to have as a personal tool rather than some corporate filter, which makes me a little bit nervous, quite frankly.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really speak to whether or not that'll ultimately be how it ends up playing out. But I do think that individuals who experience a disproportionate amount of hate and harassment, especially around race and gender and sexual orientation, individuals who are constantly dealing with a barrage of hate. You know, most recently what happened with Leslie Jones, the harassment that she had to navigate. The way that we've been doing it up till this point certainly has not, you know, stymied too much of this abuse. So what technological tools are potentially available that might make things a little bit easier for people to navigate online spaces so that they can feel like they can participate in ways that are meaningful to them?
Are comments pages a benchmark for free speech in the 21st century, do you think, or are they something of a fringe activity?
It depends on the platform. Sometimes comments are mostly supplementary. It's not actually a community. It's more just a bulletin board type of a situation. But many platforms are, their entire community hinges on the ability to comment. And so how important comment spaces are really depends on the community and what exactly is being discussed. I mean, I think that issues of free speech are only going to continue to get more and more messy. They're recognizing the problem and are taking some steps, at least, towards coming to some kind of a solution.
Speaking to us from Macon, Georgia, Whitney Phillips is assistant professor at Mercer University and author of This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things, Mapping the Relationship Between Online Trolling and Mainstream Culture. Whitney, thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.